We are at part five of the series that we've been in these weeks. We, in the preparation for Easter, which we call the Lent season, and we've been looking at this journal. And I was asked a question this week by one of our people about what difference is this, or in fact, as we think about the subject matter, which is really the Lord's Prayer, the focus this week, the person asked me, well, it seems like we're going back over this over again and again. It's this series is just about the Lord's Prayer. I said, good for you. You noticed that, simply put, the Lord's Prayer is the model prayer for really all of us who are new covenant people. Jesus left us a prayer. The disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. That really is what this is. As we look to the journal, we think about that. I'm also impressed with the fact that we here in the Reformed faith, now, I know when I was hired so many years ago, folks probably have already forgotten, and I've helped them forget, maybe that, forgive me. But they said, Pastor, what do you believe about the lectionary? And I say, well, the lectionary is a wonderful thing. It's a three-year tool that will help you read the Bible in those 3 years. Although I would say to those who use it, it's a wonderful tool. The Book of Common Worship is basically just that, a group of prayers and readings that are thorough. In fact, I'm going to speak to it this morning. The heritage of our faith is very thorough, but I have found that I need something simpler, which is why the 40 days of prayer has helped us. In that, it just basically goes back and says, well, you know, all of the things that we humans, and I say that with great respect, this is the Book of Common Prayer here. This is an incredible tool. It has helped me a great deal. But if we were to just use it in the 1 hour that we have, I could take you through and I could give you liturgy. We would turn page after page and we would look at it. And some of us would respond to it with great enthusiasm because we haven't seen this for a number of years. This is great. And it is great. You can get it. You don't need to even buy a book anymore. It's all online. It's right there. It's a tool. You can Google it today. What's the prayer for the day? If you're sitting in an airport and you have your phone, you can get right to it. Here's a prayer for the day. You have a prayer for the... If you're saying, somebody asked me to do a prayer, you have access to it. You can just about Google everything, right? You all understand that. And those are great tools, just like I believe plumbers have the greatest tools in the world, and I don't own any of them, because I get to call them, and they walk in with both hands full, ready to go to work, right? And they do a job that I cannot do, because my wife says, if you do that again, we're in trouble. We would rather have the plumber come and use the right tools, right? She's right. I'm so glad that we can agree on that. Isn't that what the prayer is? The great tool for us. So let's think about that as we think about how the psalm that was read this morning, if you turn the page, you'll see that one of the verses speaks to the fact that seven times throughout the day we can pray. In fact, we could pray throughout the day if we think about it in application this morning. That's why this psalm was selected for today. And this is the psalm that never ends, Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the world. And the only reason it's the longest psalm that it's set to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Did you know that? You may not have known that. It's okay. You don't need to know that. The Pony Express writer threw the verses out when they were doing the verse numbers because that came later. They were never there in the original. Just so you know. And what's of interest to us is that we can use it as a tool. It is such a great tool for us. I read this week and I just had to share it with you. Can you say I? You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say I. You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say my. Nor can you pray the Lord's Prayer and not pray for one another. And when you ask for daily bread, you must include your brother. For others are included in each and every plea. From the beginning of the end of it, it doesn't once say me. Wow. Isn't that interesting? No I, no me. Isn't that interesting? When Jesus said to the disciples, pray like this. We do it every week at both of our services. We include the Lord's Prayer. Why? It's just the model. Sometimes my fear is that we just take it for what it isn't, which is a ritual. I just do. But it's a great tool to have. You might not know. You might think, I've never memorized the scripture even in my life. Yes, you have. Here it is. Isn't it interesting? The Lord's Prayer is right from the Scriptures. It reminds us of that. Now, in this series, we've learned a great deal. Last week, we turned and we saw to the book of Hebrews that Jesus is the same when, yesterday, today, and forever. That He is the great I Am. We will see that again, that prayer is a conversation. And most of all, we know that it is a relationship. Dallas Willard has reminded us that we are connected, that we should seek a praying life, not just a prayer life. That our lives are now changed because we walk with Jesus at every moment. And so that conversation can happen anywhere, at any place. And it is that relationship with God. Our friend C.S. Lewis has reminded us that prayer doesn't change the mind of God. God is such an enormous, omniscient God. He knows all things, and it's hard for us to get around that, but it doesn't change the mind of God, but it does change us when we go to the Lord in prayer. See, there's that flip side. Lewis, at the lowest point of his life, said these words when he had just lost his wife, whom he just had married. Some of us don't know that story about Lewis. He was deeply hurt, obviously, and anyone who's been through that knows how hard that is. We are never alone. We looked at the five dimensions, and that prayer can be in that place that we cannot understand, but we know it's there, that God never leaves us alone. And I try to remind you of that regularly in the prayers that we offer publicly, that God reminds us that we're never alone. That's why we're doing this 40 days of prayer. It reminds us of how we're connected, how we have this relationship. So we turn, how is this Lord's Prayer built for us? Well, let me try to give you some of the ideas that Rick Warren has so helpfully put together, simply, but not without a strategy. And it comes from the book of Ephesians. Paul writes to that church there, simply says, pray in the Spirit. Notice what I underlined. What does it say? All times. All times. With all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. That pretty much includes it all, right? Is there anything left out? Pretty hard to leave it out. Not really. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up. And always pray. And I notice how he uses these words. He used the word all again. Well, I think all is a detergent. Am I not mistaken? Yeah. Like that detergent, it's all you need. Isn't prayer all you need at all times, always ready? I just think that sometimes we pastors, preachers, teachers, whatever you want to call us, we've made it perhaps too complicated. And I apologize for complications. But Jesus made it simple. He just wanted to simplify it. So our prayers are personal, passionate, and it's that partnership. We have that relationship, that conversation. We've learned all of that, and now we come into that application part. As Dale Bruner likes to say, the Lord's Prayer is the Christian's daily companion and prayer book. You see, it includes everything. There's nothing left out. So what are the seven different times of the day that we can pray? The seven phases of prayer, if you're following Rick Warren's concept. The first one is thanksgiving. We see it simply in the words of Jesus in that very, our Father. Isn't that right there? Stop for a moment. Our Father. Now, our Jewish heritage had prayer built in. Jews had scheduled times. Remember in Daniel, I did a series on Daniel last year. We saw that emerge right from the book. When do you pray? You pray And he kneeled 3 times a day. According to the text, we see it many different times in the Old Testament. He kneeled in prayer 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. And in fact, the heritage of faith that we see, the Roman Forum, and it is very interesting as you dig more into it. Some of you have been there, you've been to Rome, you've seen the great columns that are there. But one of the things that Rome did, and the Jewish faith incorporated that, was to build around the bells. The bell would ring at 6 a.m. in Rome. You may not know that, but that was the call to go to work, not prayer. Rome has built their system on that, and then it would ring for breaks. It would ring at 9 for a break, and then at noon for their break. But did you know that the Romans had a 3-hour lunch break? You're probably going, where was that lunch break? From noon to 3? It was a break. In fact, if you're scheduled to travel to Europe today, some of you know that. They have a long break. Isn't it seem like that when you've been there? It's like, that was a long, well, that's the heritage. They've always had that European context. We Protestants and now Americans really have made the 1-hour lunch, right? Or the working lunch, whatever you want to call it. But that break. And then the bell would ring again in the bell towers of place at 3 to go back to work. And then the bell would ring again at 6 to say, work is over. But everywhere that Rome went, they established these forums that were built. Huge buildings. And then they would put in them bell towers. Bell towers. We see the ancient ones here in Rome. And now we see them all over the world. That's actually where the clock came from, was these bells that would ring at certain times. If you're in downtown sections, have you heard the bells ring? They're reminders of that. And then the church picked up on that and began to develop that concept. In fact, the Roman Catholic Church developed the Liturgy of the Hours. Have you heard of that? It's an enormous amount of prayer. And I've looked at them. I have to honestly say I have not read them all. But they're different times of the year. In fact, this is the whole year. The Liturgy of the Hours starts with Advent here and then moves to Lent here or to the seasons and then the ordinary time here. We in the Protestant faith have broken it down. We ours is only 1 volume. They have 4. Okay. Do you see how over the years we can complicate things? Not complicate it, but really enhance it by digging deeper. There's nothing wrong with a Liturgy of Hours. For some people, it's rich. They ring the bell. If you've ever been to a Catholic retreat center, they ring the bell often to call people to prayer. And in certain orders, they have a time that they pray, and they ring that bell, and people respond to it. Even in Catholic services, you wonder what the bell is for. The bell is for not to scare away the evil one. I've heard people say that. No. The bell is just a reminder, a call to prayer. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's an awareness level of saying, how does God want us to respond? So when we look at it, our Father in heaven, your Father knows what you need before you ask, so then this is how you pray. This is literally Matthew's gospel. This is what he writes. He just says these words as he prepares, as you arise in morning. If you cannot do that, you end up empty from the very beginning. We arise with thanksgiving. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We arise with thankfulness. Amazon has overwhelmed everything. Would you not agree? Everything has gotten recorded. I feel as if my life is on display thanks to Amazon. You know, if I do any business with them, they seem to know everything about my footprint. Everywhere I go, everything I do on the internet is footprinted. They also track what people read. And they track what people highlight. And you might think, what's the most highlighted verses of Scripture, right? The most highlighted passages. You might think Psalm 23, we read that one often. How about John 3:16? You might think, that's got to emerge to the top. Well, no, it's got to be the Lord's Prayer, but the pastor's speaking to it. And I'm thinking, I wish that would have hit. But you know what it is? It's not any one of these three. Even though they're very important and they're very high. It's not there. It's actually Philippians 4:6, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Do not be anxious about anything. Isn't that interesting? The most highlighted verse that we have, people who follow Jesus connect here. But in every every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I think that that's not a bad thing. I think people who are looking for hope see it here. Do not be anxious about anything. In fact, I will close the service, the message today with how anxiety, our world is overwhelmed by anxiety. Have you noticed that? We are beginning to be anxious about everything. I mean, how many news channels do we need to get the most current news? How many sports channels do we need to get the most current thing in sports? I'm guilty. I'm guilty as charged. I can look at them. We are distracted by so many things. And I want to suggest to you today that we don't need to be anxious about anything. In fact, Jesus said, I'm going to teach you how to pray so you don't have to be anxious about anything. Because he actually described it there. He said to the disciples, do the birds know or worry about anything? No. They pretty much do what they do, don't they? I was reading an article just recently where there's a bird that was found at the football field at Rio Americana High School, and it shut down the whole project. Isn't that interesting? Well, I think a killdeer or some kind, beautiful bird, yeah. And what's interesting is they don't worry. They just plant their eggs wherever. And if we're aware, we can stop. We can laugh about it because it's funny. But I think that we need to be aware that we have the most powerful tool in the world. The second phase of prayer is praise. Praise is the second phase, and it doesn't remind us that at breakfast time we hallow be your name. Thank you first, and then praise the name. Praise the name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. How do we do that? We do that best by saying, at the beginning of the day, I begin with what you've given us. And how do we do it? In the Old Covenant, they have many titles. Sometimes people call them names. I would clarify that and say titles. You'll see it in the Hebrew, Jehovah Rapha. You're the God who heals. That's how God was described. El Shaddai, have you heard that term? You've heard of Shalom. It's the same. There are many titles for God, God Almighty, with all the power we need. And then in the New Testament, we talked about that earlier, about how Jesus taught us to say, Abba, Daddy, Father. You see, there's many titles that are important. Name is important, and we start with praise for that name. In the 40 days of prayer, we've learned that. And then the third element, the third phase is just dedication. What do we dedicate ourselves to? Your kingdom come, your will be done as earth as it is in heaven. Throughout the day, we do that. Your kingdom, you notice that I use the word kingdom more often. I learned that from other who've gone before me who remind me that the kingdom is now. It's not just in heaven. Some people think that everything is just terrible here on earth. It is. But the kingdom has come. Jesus came back into the world and said, my kingdom is for you. And we can live now in the moment. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. That's my point. On earth as it is in heaven. We see, we can help the kingdom come by being obedient and dedicating ourselves to it. Makes sense in the prayer. Henry Ward Beecher, the Congregationalist minister and abolitionist and important person that made things happen back during the Civil War. I used to think the Lord's Prayer was a short prayer. In fact, he called it the longest prayer. Why? As I live longer and see more of life, I believe there's no such thing as getting through it. In fact, when praying that prayer, I were to be stopped by every word until he had thoroughly prayed it, it would take him a lifetime. You see, this prayer, it takes us a lifetime to get through it. It's the tool that we have. It's why we include it in our prayers. It is so rich. It's so helpful. The fourth prayer, we did it this morning, actually, in our worship together, is the prayer of petition. Give us today our daily bread at the beginning, the middle of the day. The middle of the day in the ancient world was the biggest meal of the day. And it's where the people gathered, sometimes in groups and people, to say thank you not only for the physical aspect of that, but for the daily bread of operation. And then we see how in intercession we say, you can ask for anything in my name. John, we've seen this before in our lessons in the 40 days of prayer. You can ask anything in the name of Jesus and we would be there. The fifth section is confession. We would not leave it out. For we pray for our brothers and sisters. We have to do that, but we have to come to it by confession. Forgive us our debts in the afternoon, for we have lived long enough to see life. Many of you who've lived longer than I understand that if you do not forgive, you will be stuck. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. It does not matter for translation purposes, trespasses and all of that. Some folks like to use trespasses. It's okay if somebody says that. It's all right. Why? It's the same thing. We've all been things to go. My friends in recovery say it's time to let go. And that's the reason we say I need to admit that I have a gap. That's the first step. But really, the closing steps of the 12 remind us that if we don't forgive others, we will be stuck. In that place, we'll never get out of the quicksand. It'll just keep sinking and sink lower and lower until we let go and say, Lord, I give it to you. I confess that I cannot no longer control the aspects of this life. I need your help. The sixth phase is protection. We always want to pray for protection. My friends in the Roman Catholic community have taught me about the prayers of the guardian angels. You ever heard of the guardian angels? Do you believe that they're there? I do. Why? God is with us, and he'll use whatever he wants. Now, we're not making up stories here. We're letting people tell the stories. And those stories are real. That protection is real. It never gives way to that. And lead us not into temptation at dinner. We have to say, lead us not into that place, but deliver us from the evil one. Say, Lord, help us. You see, all of this throughout the day is a reminder as we close the prayer. And some of us have noticed that in the benediction, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, is not in the modern translations. It's not there. Not in even the Bibles in the pew. You can go look right now, but it is in the New American Standard Version. And I just want to remind you that the most ancient manuscripts didn't have this in. But the earliest believers put it in. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For it needed closure in the prayer and the earliest believers. And so there's nothing wrong with it. And it may be in a Bible that you have even on your shelf and it's there. But we know that it's rich. Because it reminds you, as Dallas Willard reminds us in his enormous work on the divine conspiracy, we've hidden the truth of God. His rendition of the Lord's Prayer, and I'll close with that this morning, just to remind you, the Lord's Prayer is so rich. Dear Fathers, always near us, may your name be treasured and loved. May you your rule be completed in us. May your will be done here on earth, just the way it is done in heaven. Give us today the things we need today. And forgive us our sins and impositions on you as we are forgiving all who anyway offend us. Have you ever been offended?
Yes.
Please do not put us, and I put this paused here for a moment just to put this. Please don't put us through trials. No one wants to go through a trial. No one. But yet they're real. But deliver us from everything bad, because you are the one in charge. Can you even say those words? That's the words that are so important in the Lord's Prayer, because we need to put you in charge, and you have all the power, and the glory is yours forever. And I love this closing, which is just the way we want it. Just the way we want it. How do we do that, Matthew? In all of his wisdom and his experience, just closed that sixth chapter where he had written down these words of the Lord's Prayer. He just said, if you seek first the kingdom. He talked a lot about kingdom, Matthew, the kingdom. If you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all the other things, all the other things will be added unto you. You see, all is what he gave us. He gave us all for us. Lord, we thank you for this moment where we can come to you in community and agree that we need you. We admit that we have made it complicated, but you did not. You simplified everything by living and coming into the world, coming and then living for us and showing us the way, modeling faith, modeling a life of conversation with your Father. Jesus, thank you for giving us this table. And as we prepare to come to it this morning, we come ready to receive the gift, for we want to seek your kingdom in these moments, for we know that all of these things will be added unto us. Thank you, Lord, for these simple elements. We ask your blessing on them now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are...